welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January the 31st, 2026. It is Season 20, Episode... Is it really just Episode 3?
Yeah.
That's as far as we've gotten. All right. Yeah. I don't know why. Feels like we should be in like 5 by now, but no, we're only 3 episodes in.
Look, it's still January, and we took out a couple things happened, so yeah.
Yeah, I know we did, and we're going to talk about that here in a bit. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you want to... listen to us, then you're already doing that. But, you know, I don't know why. I thought I would tell you how to listen to us since you're already listening to us. If you want to watch us, you can go to Twitch, twitch.tv, and then type in In-Game Chat, and you will find us there. You can also go to our website, ingamechat.net, scroll all the way to the bottom. There's a link to our Twitch, there's a link to our Discord. You can get into any of those and chat with us live while we're doing the show. And join us as well. Of course, you can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're on Twitter. We are on Blue Sky. We're on Facebook. So, yeah, all of that stuff. Enjoy. Reach out. Talk to us. Tell us what you're playing. Tell us what you're doing. Just let us know. Check in. Just check in. That's all we're asking. Call your parents once in a while. Check in on us. Make sure we're doing okay. Because last week, we were not doing okay.
Hmm.
Just to get into... So last week, it was a last-minute decision to run a replay. Let me do this real quick first. Since I'm here. Got this right here. So, look at there.
Clap,
yeah.
Clap, clap.
Yeah, it was a last-minute decision. I was here at the studio. You know, I called you, and I was like, yeah, you're coming in. Hey, I'm not sure we're going to do a show today because I was not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried that I was coming down with something, but I was here because I had planned on doing the show. And about an hour before the show started, I had decided, let's just run a replay. We'll come back and do it next week.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the reason that I wasn't feeling too good last week. And by that, I don't mean this week that just passed, but the prior one to that was we had some issues here at the radio station during the week. And Wednesday, I pulled a 12-hour day. I was here, you know. It's a weird thing to get here when it's dark, which I do because I get here before the sun comes up. But I usually leave at 3, but I wasn't leaving until after 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so... It's a thing. It's a weird thing to get to work when it's dark and then leave again when it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday, I pulled a 12-hour shift. Thursday, I pulled a 12-hour shift. Friday, I think it was like 14-hour shift because of everything that we had going on here. And so I was just exhausted. I was tired. And my body was letting me know. And I felt like doing a show was not going to make things helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So... I said, yeah, let's just run a replay, and went home. So, didn't have a lot of time to prep for it, didn't have a lot of time to tell you guys that we weren't doing a show. I went onto our Blue Sky. I realized I should have jumped into our Discord and done the same thing, because I was already in Discord set up. Some of you, I know Nabokov fan in the Discord, saw me in there, because Brian joined in. It was like, there's no show, and Nabokov was like, well, they were here earlier in the voice chat, but nope, we left.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, sorry about that for the abrupt cancellation. I was afraid it was just going to make myself worse by doing the show and not going home and just kind of relaxing. So that's what I did. It was rough week.
Yeah.
So anyway, here now to do it again. What you been playing, man?
Well, for the most part, still working on some things in GTA Online. They've added some new odd jobs to the recent updates. Firefighting, paper delivery, and forklift operations. You know, just little things they had.
Paper delivery?
Yeah, paper delivery.
Like paper boy?
Yeah.
Like on a bike, or can you do it from your car?
Motorcycle. Well, the modified bagger, I think it's good. The one with the saddlebags on the side or whatever.
They have bicycles. Yeah. Do they have bicycles in GTA?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Speed bikes, the 10-speed.
Right, yeah.
10-speed, 10-speeds. Mountain bikes and those little electric ones that that are the rage nowadays. Yeah, they got those in the game.
Okay,
mm-hmm. But they put some odd jobs in there, and I was doing those and seeing how much they were paying to see if they were worthwhile. They're okay, but when you're used to doing the grinds that give you half a million, a million, things like that,
yeah,
you start to eventually go back to that because basically the game's all about making as much money as you can as quick as possible. So doing those odd jobs, while fine and relatively safe, they don't, even with double or even with double or even triple money, they don't give you as much as the big grinding jobs do.
Right.
So they're nice for a change of pace, but the main goal is the big money, big money grinds that you
go for.
Big
money, no whammies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, Virtua Fighter, I haven't played in a while. No other thing. Other things have been having to deal with these past few weeks. I've got back into it because you don't want to get too rusty doing that. So I got back into it for a few times, played the arcade mode. The World Tour mode. I'm sorry. The World Tour mode, where it simulates going to the arcade and playing other competitors and seeing if you can get as many wins as you can.
Right.
You know, get those streaks going, increase your rank, and move up to the next arcade through the tour. And out, of course, MLB The Show 25. Got back into that, still doing franchise mode. I'm almost at the end of the season, so when that's over and done with, I have to redraft and sign players and do all the business aspects of running a baseball team.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, good job, man.
Yeah. Good.
You got in more games than I did. Obviously, my exhaustion, I rarely played anything the week.
Yeah, you were playing recovery.
Prior.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, I played some Spider-Mans. Mm-hmm. I got Spider-Man, put some time in with Spider-Man 2 again. Still doing that. Other than that, though, it's been a little bit of Proverbs. Proverbs is just kind of a go-to every now and again. You know, that's going to be, for a while, that's going to be my destiny. In other words, the game that I'll tell you that I played at least a little bit of every week.
Mm-hmm.
It takes no time to load. It takes no time to play a little section, and you're done, and then you move on. So I played some Proverbs. I played Snap. And I got back into Ball Pit, or Ball X Pit, or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
Because they did updates. They gave us a brand new building that lets you activate an endless mode.
Okay.
In other words, when you finish a level, and I didn't go beyond this, but when you finish a level and you beat the boss, and it gives you the results screen, you have the option to play the level again, return to base, or continue, continue on playing. And I don't necessarily know if it just starts the level over with all of your power-ups active. I'm not sure, because I never pressed the button. I would always return to base, because I was only playing it to grab the new blueprints that would unlock these things. So let's say you finish the game from previous, and you're about to start the update. Well, the first thing you need to do is go to the level select screen and find the levels that show that there is a blueprint within them that you haven't found yet. There's three different levels that have a blueprint in them, because there's three different blueprints to obtain from this update. There is a building blueprint that gives you the endless mode, which we talked about, and there's two character blueprints, two new character homes. So I went through, and every time I unlocked a blueprint, I was like, let's go back to base so I can build the new thing and play around with the new thing. Except I didn't get to play around with the endless mode new thing. I just went directly to that building, then to the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would pick them and play them in the next level. They've got a Falconer, which is a guy who not only spits his own balls out, but he's got two Falcons that also launch balls,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. And then the other guy, I can't remember what his name is or what he is called. Regal or something like that. I'm not sure.
Is his names or job titles?
They usually relate to whatever it is that they do.
Okay, so like job titles, okay.
The names usually relate to how they perform in the level.
Carouser. You know?
Carouser. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is fantastic when I was playing with him. He has balls that orbit him, which is kind of cool, because then you can get up on enemies and they're just taking hits, you know?
Oh, satellite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a small orbit around him.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to pick up a couple of some passive elements and some balls. There was a passive element that it says if you have one ball that is a special ball that lights things on fire, your other mini balls that you're shooting around will also catch on fire when they hit things that are on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I had a ring of fire surrounding me. It was fantastic. It was wonderful. it was great. That was great. There is... I'm trying to remember looking at the screen. There's like three or four new passive abilities that I've only seen one of yet. I haven't seen the rest. And I think there's at least one new ball, but there's a bunch of different fusions or evolutions that you can do with the new balls that I have not unlocked yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't gotten that. So I still have that.
I think when you were talking about last time, the more different types of balls, special balls you get, so the more different types, the more different type of combinations.
Right,
this with this equals that or something, yeah.
Yep. So I'll look into, see, now that I've unlocked everything and now I can focus on discovering those new evolutions, discovering those new passive things to see what they do, to see how beneficial they are, what the case may be. Without having new levels, it's fun to unlock this stuff, but without having new levels to go through, it's a little bit, what's a good term for it?
I want to say stagnant or repetitive.
Well, I mean, repetitive is one, but I mean, you can also chase scores if you want to. You know, you can chase times amongst you and your friends. I've long since stopped that. But
it's the same field of play that you're a vertical arcanoid breakout type screen you've seen. So,
but without new levels, and I kind of wish they would have that. Maybe the endless mode fixes that. I don't know. But without new levels, it feels a little bit like, hey, I unlocked them. Okay, I'm done. Right? There's little incentive for me to go back and do anything. Even though I haven't even discovered these new evolutions of balls, there's no achievements tied to them. There's no trophies tied to them or tied to them. There's not.
Yeah, usually I'm used to it, like new DLC means new trophies to it.
Right. Like I want to chase that.
Yeah.
But there's no reward for that. And so I feel like there's no incentive for me to chase it other than to, say I unlocked it, you know?
Yeah.
And at this point, I've completely forgotten how all of my combinations work. I'd have to go find that. There was a nice...
Yeah, someone's wrote a guide on YouTube.
There was a nice, like, almost like an infographic type thing.
Yeah.
Where you could look and see, well, here's different balls that I have. What can I make with those? And how great can I make them? And there's this whole chart thing that you can look through.
Yeah.
Which now needs to be updated because we have two new characters and some new things to add into the power-ups and stuff. Yeah. So... I haven't really looked into that yet, but that'll be my next thing if I decide to do it. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I did it, but you know, I don't know. I'm not. It was fun to get back into it and play that to kind of chase that to unlock them.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I have, and now that I've played them on a level, and it's like, okay, I'm not really feeling like getting back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I feel like I need to jump back in anything new or anything else that I'm doing. I'm just not sure that's there for me currently. But we'll see. But yeah, other than that, man, not a lot. Really, I downloaded Star Wars Outlaws, but I haven't even played it yet.
How much you pay for it?
It's free on Game Pass.
Free? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I had PC, because on PC Game Pass, you get connected into Ubisoft Now or whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
And Star Wars Outlaws became a part of that, which means now I can play that through Game Pass. So.
That was just recently put on Game Pass?
As of like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks, right after the new year.
Okay.
Because I remember I bought it during the winter sale.
Yeah.
And then I asked for a refund because I heard it was going to be on Game Pass. And I got my refund, and there it is on Game Pass.
Yeah. Officially released on... August 30th of 2024, Star Wars Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so took that long to get free on Game Pass.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you can I think we're saying like we can judge how fast, how well the game is doing by how fast it gets on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. You kind of can. I mean, sometimes games launch day and date on Game Pass. I mean, Clair Obscur was on Game Pass immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't necessarily say anything was bad about it. They just had rights to put it on there.
Or there were it was a new studio trying to get as much exposure as possible,
right.
Something like that. Yeah.
Ubisoft, though, you would be correct in that. Because they're going to release their games to, you know, make profit first before they put them in the tier that gets you, you know, one subscription payment and you get all these games to play.
Yeah.
You know? Like, all the Assassin's Creeds are inside that Ubisoft now, with the exception of Shadows. Shadows is about to be a year old. We're coming up on a year old of Shadows. I think it will be in March. And actually, it may have been this month. It might be this month will be a year from Shadows release.
Yeah, let's see.
You checking that?
Yeah. March 20th of 2025.
Okay, it was March.
Where did my top go? There it is.
Okay. So, we're about a year towards it, and I don't think that's going to be thrown into that subscription service anytime soon.
Hmm.
Outlaws didn't perform too well. So, put it in there. Maybe people will buy the DLC. Maybe people will buy some of the upgrade packs or whatever the case may be that, you know, can get you some money. But, yeah.
A bundle with everything they got released on it, like one of those Game of the Year edition type things.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed does stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
It's got a bunch of stuff, but yeah. So, anyway, that's what I've been playing, or not really been playing, actually, for me. So, that's how it's been. That's how it's been going for me.
Yeah.
Looking at our news, because we had news from last week that I had scheduled to talk about, not much, and then I got news from this week, which again, if you separate the two, it wasn't much last week, it's not much this week, but put together, we got plenty to kind of talk about and go over here. But where do I want to start? I would start with Highguard. I was hoping that, I don't know if anybody's played Highguard. I know I have not played Highguard.
Mm, neither have I.
I know you have not played Highguard.
Mm-mm.
I'm not sure that, I don't want to say controversy around it, because I don't really think there's controversy to be had. A couple of weeks ago, we found out that they didn't pay for their Game Awards ad. At the Game Awards in December, the final trailer of the night was for Highguard.
Mm-hmm.
We had heard leading into that, you know, companies were paying quite a lot of money to get their game featured in the show with a trailer. Paying, you know, I say it feels like Super Bowl prices, but it's kind of equivalent of that. Not necessarily on the level that Super Bowl prices are, because that's massive. But in the gaming world, it's you know, kind of an equivalent.
The gaming world's signature event.
Yeah,
that all the eyeballs are on. So, yeah.
And so they pay a lot of money to get some time on this show.
Right.
And Highguard paid nothing to get the last slot of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The one that a lot of people usually sit around waiting for to see, like, what's your big reveal at the end of the show going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Usually you save the big one for last kind of thing. If I could go back and show you what the last trailer was previous to I want to say Naughty Dog's new game, Intergalactic or whatever it's called, something. I can't remember. It's a space game.
Mm-hmm.
But their reveal was the end of a Game Awards show.
Yeah.
That was last year, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's done that. And this year we got Highguard, which was like a looter shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even pay for it to be there, which is fine, because you run your own show, you can decide what you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to put something there yourself and not get any money for it, then go right ahead, but you know, it's up to you. It says the showrunners thought that it deserved the spotlight. So the thing about that was, and it's hard to talk about it now in the past. Well, yeah, it's hard to talk about that because it's already come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
But leading up to that, the game had not been released. But leading up to that, the trailer that they showed in December said the game's coming out in January. We never got word one after that trailer. There was nothing. There were no dev diaries. There was no update about release dates. There was nothing. No trailers. There was no information released. Absolutely nothing leading up to the game's release last week, I think?
Yeah. Close enough to it.
Yeah. There was nothing for it. And people were like, is this going to get delayed? We haven't heard anything.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going on with it. And no, it actually did get released. yeah, it was a little buggy in places, and there was a lot of websites who were like, okay, it's out, we're going to review it, don't write it off because of the inability for them to communicate to their player base of like what's going on with the game or anything like that. There was a lot of, it felt like defense towards the game because it was getting skewered online once it got released.
Yeah.
The reviews were not great for it.
Overwhelmingly negative.
Right, yeah. Now, the user reviews were not great.
Okay.
And the user reviews, I don't know, you can go either way on those things because that's just people who are either airing their grievances, who either aren't playing the game. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you can do this on Steam, but surely you cannot write a review for the game if you haven't played it, right?
No, I've never put in the effort to review a game on Steam. I barely play any Steam games anyway.
I'm in the same boat.
Writing a review, I don't think I've done that for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat that I have not.
Yeah, and, of course, you know, we always get the, if a game does poorly, bad enough, there's always that CYA 101, blame bots or folks who just intentionally review bombing.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it would have been. That's what it was considered, was review bombing.
Yeah.
But I'm not, you know, not even then, even if you played the game, I'm not sure if it's a free-to-play game. It may be.
Looter shooter, yeah. So, maybe. See.
I know. Now I've got to look myself.
Let's see. Free to play.
All right, it's free to play.
Yeah.
Doesn't even matter. You can download it, likely add it to your account, add it to your library, and then write a review about it without even ever playing it, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Even still, you can play it for all of 5 minutes and then write a review that says this game sucks.
Yeah.
You know, write a negative review.
Yeah.
So it's hard to trust user reviews, especially when they're clouded in this kind of, God, I hate to use the word controversy because it seems like there's so much more that would be controversial than a stupid video game. But don't necessarily, I mean, if you're interested in the game, it's free to play. Play it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about reviews. Don't worry about user reviews. If there was money attached to this, different story. And I'm sure there is some sort of season pass. There's probably some sort of pay line, you know what I'm saying, where you can put money into the game.
I guess for a free-to-play game, the telltale sign would be how many people are playing this game right now.
Right. There was concurrent users.
That's all, yeah.
Like, we got all of that.
Yeah.
We got the current, yeah, let's see. I'm trying to see here. There's another one. Yeah, Highguard launches to big Steam concurrence, but it is getting absolutely destroyed in user reviews. Highguard hit a peak of 97,249 concurrent users on Steam, which was a significant number for any new game launch on that platform. But the mostly negative user review rating, just 32% of the 14,500 user reviews are positive. That's less than half. While some of those revolve around PC performance problems, most criticize the game design and question some of the decisions made by the developers. Chief among the criticisms is that the size of the map is huge, but it's only 3v3. You want to trim that down. Not the player count. You want to trim the size of the maps down, or you want to increase the amount of players. You're able to summon a mount to get about faster. But some players believe a 4v4, 5v5, or even three teams of three would have been a better fit for the spanning levels.
So either way, more players needed to cover this area.
Yeah, yeah. Or a small, I mean, you could do a smaller play field if you wanted to do that. There are complaints about the resource gathering phase of each map, too, which involves what some are calling boring mining and loot farming. The gist here is that there is too much downtime and a lack of excitement, although players seem to be enjoying the raid phase of each match where combat is concentrated. There are also criticisms of the playable characters, which are differentiated only by two abilities each on a cooldown. Some are calling Highguard's visuals bland as well. The top post on the subreddit for Highguard reinforces this sentiment. "I'm sorry, but this is boring AF," it reads. "Gathering is boring AF. Looting is boring." It just keeps on going. 3v3 with short time to kill is boring. No PvE is boring as... "The only good thing in this game is the mount." So, yeah. But it's a free-to-play game. Who cares what the reviews say? Download it and play it if you have interest. And then you can judge yourself. Mm. This I can't really go into it when it's a free-to-play game. There's literally no risk. Mm. Outside of time. That's it. Time and hard drive space, I suppose. But even then, just delete it if you don't like it. Get that hard drive space back. It's so hard for me to recommend or not recommend something that's free. Well, it's hard for me to not recommend something that's free to play. It's free to play. You absolutely have no reason not to give it a shot if you have interest. If you're curious about how... Like, if Ark Raiders was free to play, I'd have already tried it by now. Mm-hmm. But it's like $30-$45. So there is an investment to be made in order to even try to see if I like it. There is not one here. So who cares what all these things are saying? Go play it for yourself. And if you like it, stick with it and enjoy it. If you don't, you know, leave a scathing review. If you would like to, or just...
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of those.
Yeah, or just uninstall. Do that. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So it's hard for me to it's hard for me to kind of criticize anybody that that is sort of not on the fence with playing it. I'm not. I'm still more... My interest is still leaning more towards Ark Raiders than it is for Highguard. You know?
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, not really... I'm real curious and eyeballing Marathon over there, Bungie's Marathon, which now stuck with the release date, did a bunch of pre-order stuff, is gathering some momentum in the interest department, not within me, but within gaming communities, the zeitgeist, I guess you could say.
Mm.
I'm hearing more and more people being like, yeah, I'm kind of on that train to see how this is going to go. But that is also an investment. It's a cheaper investment. It's like $40 mm-hmm. than your typical game release would be, which would be $60 to $50 to $70.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is like $40. There's tiers that you can buy into. And I don't remember what they give you within the game itself. I haven't. That's, again, my interest in that is not the greatest. It is not Destiny, but, I mean, Bungie's really good at the shooter game. They're really good at the shooter game. But I don't think I'm there. I'm curious, though. I haven't talked to my Destiny folks in that Discord to see if they're kind of jumping on the Marathon bandwagon. I don't know.
Yeah, quick check on the concurrent players list for Highguard. About 12,500.
Hmm. That's a drop.
Mm-hmm.
92, did I say?
Yeah, all-time peak was 5 days ago at 97,249.
97? 99. Yeah, that's a drop. Checking out the chat number. Thar says, the number one complaint I heard is that the map is too big for 3v3, but they already added a 5v5 over the weekend to test that.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. But the game was dead before it even launched because of the TGA showing. It's sad, really. I guess so, because the TGA showing was a disappointment when people were expecting something and all they got was this looter shooter again, and it's just we don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I think we talked about it. Was it the game itself or the genre in general that people were more disappointed in than anything else? It's like, great, another one of these.
I know,
that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, and especially because this is what you used. The grand finale of the game.
Yeah, no, the big reveal at the end you use for something that there are dozens of.
Yeah.
something that just does not feel unique anymore?
So like I said, was it the game itself or the genre in general that people were more upset about than anything else?
We'll see how it goes. There's some more articles that we have on the game itself that I might get into. I don't know. Again, knowing this is free to play kind of changes my whole opinion on it. Because it's like I have no dog in the fight, right? I don't care if it lives or dies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's free to play. So if you've got your doubts, just download and play it. It's right there. You cost you nothing but time to see if you're going to like it or not. So why not? Reviews are still good to whether you decide if you even want to put that time in, sure. But even if you're still on the fence trying to find a review that will justify you downloading it or justify you not doing that, why? It's right there free. Play it. You don't like it? You don't like it. At best, you've got a new game that you enjoy that is absolutely free. In this day of gaming, that's amazing. That you found something that you enjoyed and it cost you nothing. As far as gaming is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario, you play it and you're like, man, this is crap. You're done. You don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Uninstall. Move along with your day. So, anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the news. I think this is new game week, or is it old game week? Crap. I can't remember.
Go with old.
Hang on, I can tell you real quick.
Yeah.
I say I can tell you real quick. Let's see. Yeah. I can tell you real quick. Go to the IGC folder. We go to the music for IGC. We check it out. It is old game week. Although this does not look like an old game. Because I do not see it in my episode 3 stuff. And I don't want it to play. I'm doing a thing here.
Gotta play something.
Oh, no, we're going to play something.
Yeah.
We're absolutely going to play something. I just don't understand. I sent this stuff over twice. Why would it not have made it? That's what bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give me a minute. Give me just a minute. While I do this, I never can see this stuff, I guess, until time of the show. Let's see. All right. I'm logging into the thing. Checking this out. Let's go to 6300, which is... There we go. Yeah, none of that was... Whoop. Yeah, there was. Wait a second. What does that say? Except there's nothing in there that says...
All this newfangled technology, isn't it?
I swear, this is Steel Seed. When did Steel Seed come out? Can you look up that? Maybe I got something different here. I realize this is fantastic radio to listen to.
Stellar. 2024. Yeah, Steel Seed, right?
Yeah. Let me see. When does it say I... That says 17. That says 24. Okay, so I missed putting a game in there.
Oh, my fault. April of 2025. My fault.
Yeah, I missed something. I missed putting in a game for some reason, and I don't know why. So, let me see some. I'm so sorry. Let's see. Is Baldur's Gate in there? Baldur's Gate is in.
You know, some say this is what we get for taking a week out.
Yeah, you go ahead and say that, folks. Okay, I'm thinking I found it, maybe. Because there's Mega Man. Is the Sega Rally in there? Yep, Sega Rally's in there. Is I'm telling you what they're all going to be. That's in there. Okay. Yep, okay, I really think that I found it.
Good job.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Huh. All right, well, I'm going to play... Yeah, okay. Okay, it's going to be XCOM. That's what didn't make it. So that's what we're going to play. Here is music from... Boop. Computer up. XCOM. There we go. XCOM UFO Defense. That's what we're playing music for right now. And we will be right back with more Fin Game Chat right after this. I promise you we'll have the music fixed after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music there from Star Fox on the N64. Or was that Super NES? That was Super NES. Star Fox was... The Star Fox 64, of course, was the N64 version. This is the SNES version. Here's a weird headline. Sony's live-action adaptation of The Legend of Zelda will stream on Netflix. Sony's live-action Legend of Zelda will stream on Netflix. Like, I get it. I understand that that's why. It's Sony is the film company behind it, not, you know, Nintendo does not have a film company. So I understand. I get that. Just very odd. The company that has their own video game system is producing a adaptation of a live-action... A live-action adaptation of a video game that is solely Nintendo's property. But hopefully they do it well.
We can only hope.
Yep.
Who's the last one to get it right? Fallout? Because I think...
Fallout was good, yeah.
Fallout's pretty good.
I have not tried Season 2 yet. I haven't jumped into Season? I haven't jumped into Season 2. Last of Us was good.
Didn't they do something that was a little that some folks didn't like for Season 2?
Of?
Last of Us.
I
think it was like, what, pacing or something? Something that folks didn't like about it. I can't recall off the top of my head.
Well, it's probably the same thing that most people didn't like about the second game. Mm-hmm. And it's what happened in, like, Episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what happens in, like... the first hour or second hour of the game. Big reveal there.
Yeah, but you saw that coming.
I mean, you kind of did, but man, it's one thing to do it in a video game. It's another thing to do it in a series where the character was pretty popular in that regard, you know?
Character's kind of vital, yeah, but...
Their dynamic was pretty popular, the two of them, and you eliminate one, and so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, maybe that was it. I don't know. I know that the second season didn't carry near the weight the first season did. Mm-hmm. And the first season covered the first game, and the second season is trying to do a lot of what the second game did, which was split it up into this... into stretch the soup.
Yeah.
As it were. But season one was fantastic.
Yeah.
I would say that, yeah, if you're talking about video game adaptations, probably. I'm trying to think if there were some more that I'm missing out on.
Yeah. I guess it kind of helps with Fallout that you got a actor like Walton Goggins being in there as well.
But I haven't heard good or bad on season two. I haven't heard talk of season two at all. Mm-hmm. Big release in December, but I've heard really nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that season one was released all in one. Like, here's every single episode right here on this day.
Mm-hmm.
Did great. People binged it, and it was wonderful. Season two was like, we're going to release an episode a week type thing. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Maybe the reason people aren't talking because they're waiting for the whole thing to come out, I guess. Maybe.
I suppose, or because it's going week to week. There's no, like, holy crap, wait till you get to episode 3 or 4 or 5 or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's, I don't know. And so I have just really haven't been following the talk of the series. And I haven't even started the series, season two. I think it's done with now, but I have not started the season. I'll get to it. I know New Vegas is related to it, right?
I think so. I think there's talk of a Mr. House.
Yeah, in there which as well. I didn't play New Vegas, so for me, this is going to be like my experience with New Vegas.
Yeah, New Vegas was
great from what I heard.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only issue I had with New Vegas was the micromanaging of stuff that you gathered up, like the weight of your bullets. You have to like take them apart to negate the weight that it had on your inventory.
Any game that does that, unless it's like vital to the gameplay itself.
I think it was only available like a hardcore mode.
Yeah,
I think
maybe
that's what it was.
Okay.
Hardcore survival mode or something.
See, Witcher
like that.
Didn't do that, or at least Witcher 3 didn't do that. Witcher 3, you had a weight limit. Well, I say a weight limit, but you had, you know, you had measurements
stuff
of how much
weight,
your stuff weighed.
Yeah.
So that your movement would be restricted the heavier you had your stuff. And I just turned that. What's the other one that does it? Avowed.
A lot of games do that, yeah.
Avowed did it as well. And yeah. I found little cheats and stuff that turned that thing off because I don't like it.
Yeah, the Soul series does that.
I'm too much of a collector. I'm picking up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I don't need it. I'm picking up and I'm a hoarder. I'm a digital hoarder. I'm a digital hoarder on a couple of levels. In a game where you can collect everything, mm-hmm. you know, you can your character can search in drawers and pull, you know, oh, there's an apple. Oh, there's a rotten apple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to take it. So I'm in that regard, absolute digital hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, look at my Steam library. Look at my Plex account. Look at my movie stuff. Look at all that. Digital hoarder across the stream, you know? Mm-hmm. Just, you can look at my hard drives and be like, oh, wow, he saves everything that he, you know, downloads or whatever. I mean, I have these shows that we do on backup, both the audio version and the video version. I have the music that we used per each episode for going on five years now, at least.
Yeah.
All backed up. Saved. Why? I don't know. Anybody ever going to call me out and be like, what was the music you used in season 17, episode 33? I don't know, but I got it saved. I can go tell you. I've never once pulled a music track and thought, haven't we done this? We just played Star Fox. certainly I have played that at some point. But I don't remember recently of ever doing it, so who cares, right? But, yeah, so digital hoarder all the way around. But specifically in games, and I don't like the ones that put you the weight limit on there. I turn that stuff off.
If you can, yeah.
Yeah. I also turn off the ones where it limits your inventory, I guess, where it's like, you've only got this many slots to hold this sort of thing. And I'm like, eh. Now, outside of, like, Resident Evil, which is, they sort of gamify that.
Yeah.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with
inventory
that.
Inventory management, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm actually okay with that because of how they gamified your inventory. But otherwise, I don't put up with that. I just don't. So, anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. And with that rant, we're almost 6 minutes away from the top of the hour, so what are we going to do? You know, we were talking about Arc Raiders. Let's talk about Steam. This comes from 2 weeks ago. 2025 may have been a mixed bag overall, but as far as video games are concerned, it's pretty great. If you're a PC gamer, your cup runneth over. You might still be catching up on the year's biggest hits even now, and you're not alone. In fact, one industry analysis group reckons that December 2025 was Steam's highest grossing December ever. The estimation comes courtesy of an analytics company, which reported that last month saw over 100 million Steam users generate $1.6 billion in gross revenue. That would make it the platform's best Christmas month in history. And I contributed to that. The report explains that's up 22.7% over December 2024, and even more than December 2020's pandemic-driven high of $1.4 billion. So another $2 million or so were done for this month, or this past Christmas. The report also notes that Arc Raiders is the second biggest breadwinner of the season. The first is Counter-Strike 2. Apparently, that's just always going to be number one in that. I don't know why. Also free to play, I believe. Arc Raiders had a staggering 1.2 million copies sold just in the weeks between December 21st and January 4th. The game selling 12 million copies overall. 250,000 copies were apparently sold on Boxing Day alone, with almost 3.2 million players checking in and half of them doing so on Steam. Steam seems bigger than ever despite would-be competitors like the Epic Games Store and the occasional controversy, and any concerns that the extraction shooter lacks casual appeal have been taken out back and blasted away because of, well, just a lot of people getting in on that. Steam's continued dominance is no surprise as it's got a bigger user base than Canada. Yeah. And I still haven't jumped on the Arc Raiders train. I'm still looking at it. I'm still considering it.
No demos will or anything like that?
I don't know if there's a demo for it or not. I mean, Steam has its own, like, return policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like 14 days after you buy it or 2 hours after you 2 hours after you played it. Mm-hmm. So if you buy it, you've got 14 days to get a full refund if you haven't played it.
Mm-hmm.
If you start playing it, you've got until you clock in 2 hours of gameplay before you can return it. Or 14 days. You know, if you pass the 14 days, you've only put in an hour and a half, you could still return it within that time period, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's not 2 hours after you play it, but 2 hours of total playtime.
Mm-hmm.
If you've done 2 hours of playtime, then you cannot return it. And they're pretty good about it. I've not done, I think I may have done one refund on Steam. I can't remember for what. But I know I did a refund on Ubisoft, and they have basically the same policy.
Mm-hmm.
14 days before you install, or before you play it, or 2 hours after you've played it. Or 2 hours of total playtime.
2 hours of total game time, yeah.
Yeah. And it went really smooth on my return, my refund.
Yeah.
Went very smooth. They do give you the option if you want credit, in the store, or if you just want it charged back, you know, put back on your card, you know, whatever your payment method. Mm-hmm. So you can go either way with it, but yeah, it's not too bad. I guess Steam probably does the same thing, but I just don't remember ever doing a refund on Steam. Mm. I can't remember. I don't think I did, though. Mm. So. Anyway, what else we have? I want to talk about the Xbox Developer Direct, because there was some stuff announced there. I want to talk about Ubisoft and their cancellation of a lot of games, one of which was the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake. Not remix, but remake. We got our PlayStation Plus Essential Monthly games that have been confirmed, and I think I've got some time that I can tell you what those are. Mm-hmm. So why don't we do that? What do we get this week, or this year, or this month?
Month, yeah.
Undisputed. It's a licensed boxing game, which released on consoles back in October 2024. It's available on PS5 only. That'd kind of be nice. I haven't played a boxing game since Fight Night. Mm. Is that what it's called? Fight Night Round 2 or something like that?
Yeah. I think the last one was Fight Night Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think for me, I played...
That's one I played anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I played Fight Night. It was on the Xbox 360. It was one of the early games for the Xbox 360, and it looked remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fight Night Round 2, I played that, but I didn't go beyond Round 2. I don't think I went into whatever else they did after that, like you said, Champions or whatever it was. I never went into that, but well, there might be something there. I haven't played a boxing game in a while. Joining it is Subnautica Below Zero. And the third game is something called Ultros, a science fiction action game with an art style designed by El Huervo, best known for his work on Hotline Miami. It's also available in both PS4 and PS5 versions, same as Subnautica Below Zero, PS4 and PS5 versions. The fourth PS Plus Essential game is Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown, which was a 2019 release. All games will be available to claim from February 3rd until March 2nd. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a break and try and get back on time. We got music here. It's now working. I told you it would. This is from Mega Man X. It is the forest stage of that game. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back in to In-Game Chat. That's a Sega soundtrack if I've ever heard one. Sega Rally Championship Ignition is the game it comes from.
I think, it did sound familiar to me. I was thinking about the original version of this. Yeah, this is the remix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back into the show, everybody. AC Wraith says, I've refunded multiple games on Steam. I've always received my money while there was still time and a major sale to get something else. Hmm. That's good. Mine was pretty instant, I guess. I can't remember for Ubisoft. Hmm. It was very quick. I don't necessarily know that it was same day, but it was within that week.
Yeah.
So it was pretty fast to getting the refund back. So, All right, let's talk about the, what was it, the Xbox Developer Direct. We had some new games announced in there. Or I say new games. We had some updates on some games, I guess, and some new things announced. Forza Horizon 6, we already knew that we were getting a Forza Horizon 6. We already knew it was going to take place in Japan. We just really hadn't seen anything about the game. We haven't gotten a release date or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And that's now what we know, is that we are getting Forza Horizon 6. And I believe, well, I thought it said it came out. It comes out Thank you, IGN, for giving me. That's right. It launches in May. And there may be a Gundam involved. We don't know. The end of the trailer, there was a massive. I wasn't sure if it was going to be like Godzilla at first, because it did the footstep type stuff. And mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what is this? And then these two robotic feet step into the frame. I was like, ooh, there's a Gundam. I'm curious as to how that's going to be involved, but yeah, May 19th is when we're getting Forza Horizon 6. It'll launch on PC and Xbox Series X and S, and of course, it'll be on Game Pass day one as well. You can access it a few days earlier if, of course, you get the premium edition. There will be a PlayStation 5 version at some later date. We don't know when, though. Looks great. Japan looks great. It's Forza Horizon. It's the arcade version of their highly simish racing series.
So like a toned down Gran Turismo?
Well, Forza Motorsport, whatever, 6, 5, 7, ever how many they got, I don't know. But if it's just Forza Motorsport, whatever it's called, and they may have discontinued that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That was the sim one. That was the Xbox version of Gran Turismo. Mm-hmm. Then they did Forza Horizon, which was an arcadey version of that, where it's not so sim-like. It's not so like, hey, tune your car to do what it needs to do. No. Just arcade stuff. We're going to launch you off the sides of mountains. You know, we're going to put a Hot Wheels track in here. You know, just it was fun, you know? Just a lot of arcadey type stuff. Still with the Forza name for the licensed vehicles and for just the way the thing looks. It's just beautiful. I swear, car driving games are some of the most simplistic beauty of a game that I've ever seen. And I'm not a game coder, so I don't know what it goes into making that. The reason I say simplistic is because cars, vehicles, seem to be pretty simple. They're polygons already, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are shaped in a way that would be sort of, doesn't necessarily require a lot of detail. I mean, it does if you want to get right down to it. But when you're talking about a character animation, like you have to create that face and you got to put the pores and you got to do the facial hair, and there's a lot of detail that goes into a person. There's probably a lot of details that go into these vehicles, but I call them simplistic because it's like, here's the vehicle, put some reflections on it, there it is. You know? But the environments look amazingly good, even though they don't really have to go nuts with it because it's a track. Although Forza Horizon is sort of open world. You can drive around Japan all you want. But, you know, in racing, usually you're stuck on a track, and even the tracks look really, really good. There's not a lot of detail to be had into them, but they can really work with that and make them look great. I'm not trying to diminish the work that goes into these things. I just feel like there's a difference in environments and characters and things like that that you see in, say, something like The Last of Us 2 or something like God of War Ragnarok or something. what would be another one? Like Clair Obscur or something like that. There's a lot that goes into making those look really, really good. But here you have cars that are already designed. You're not having to create these out of thin air. They're already designed, although I'm sure there's some concept car type stuff that's in there. But and again, I'm not trying to diminish their work. I've just always found that the reveals of car racing titles, especially the sim versions, where they're taking themselves really seriously and they already have the models that exist, you just scan that and put it in. And it looks amazing. So, yeah, like I said, I'm not trying to diminish that. I know a lot of work goes into these things, I assume, because I don't do this sort of thing. So I'm not trying to say one is better than the other. I just always am surprised by when I see these trailers for these racing series, where it's just like, God, that's beautiful. The cars look amazing. But it's different when I see a game that involves people or other things like that, where the game looks really amazing. I think, man, that must have been tough to get the facial expressions down, to get the mouth movement synced with the audio and everything else. I mean, I don't guess you have that with cars. I don't know what goes into that.
I guess with cars, it's the look of the car, how accurate you are to the real life version of it. Or some interesting original.
I mean, at
design.
This point, yeah, I'm sure. There was a time when you had to get that down, but at this point, you can snap a picture. Get some photos, plug them in, and you got your car.
Yeah,
you got your model, your 3D model there.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Saying,
again,
at,
I don't.
At
code.
That at that point, now you're just interested in the physics of a reaction to the track and the environment you're racing, running in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, you've got to get the physics down on that, obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think more than the look and the appeal of the vehicle is the physics of the racing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then we got to look at a game called Beast of Reincarnation. It's a new action game from the developer Game Freak, the guys that did Pokemon. This is an entirely new type of video game from that studio, though. It allows players to step into the role of Emma the Sealer as they journey through post-apocalyptic Japan to save humanity from extinction. It's due out in summer of this year across Series X, Series S, PC, and PlayStation 5. It's also a Day 1 Game Pass title as well. Beast of Reincarnation. I was not into it. In fact, most of this I wasn't into. Forza Horizon 6, yes. It's fun, racing. We got another game called Kiln, which is from Double Fine Productions. You know, Tim Schafer type game. And I thought, Tim Schafer's doing a thing. It's always fun when Tim Schafer does a thing, except it's a battler, and I'm not big into battlers. It's an online multiplayer pottery party brawler about pots that transform into playable characters. We got an in-game potter's wheel. And, yeah. Oh, wow, it was re-revealed with this. They had apparently talked about it as far back as 2017. And now they've finally gotten around to doing it. Expect to launch spring of this year. And it will continue to update the game following launch. A closed beta coming soon. It did not pull me in. And then we got Fable. Really? Is that all we got? I think we got more than that, but I guess not. Microsoft ended its Xbox developer. Yeah. Microsoft ended the show with the star of the show, Fable. Playground Games, the same dev that is making Forza Horizon, by the way, has built a new team to make this Fable reboot, its first open-world action RPG. It's carrying on the work of Lionhead Studios, which Microsoft shut down back in 2016. You begin the game as a child growing up in a sleepy rural village. You're Albion's first hero in a generation. You set off on an adventure into the open world. This is a true open world, Playground said, which means you're free to go where you want from the start of the game. Got a decent look at character customization, combat, and, of course, kicking chickens, which is, I guess, something you could do in the game. I think you could always do that in Fable games. I don't necessarily remember it, though.
Got a consequence? like in Zelda?
I don't know. I don't remember being a chicken kicker when I was playing Fable back then. I really don't. But it's been a minute since I played Fable. I think the last one I played was Fable 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going back a ways. This is a true open world game, which means you are free to go where you want from the start of the game. We got a decent look at character customization, combat, and of course, kicking chickens. Combat combines melee and ranged attacks as well as powerful spells. Outside combat, you can buy a house, get a job, make money. You can romance a villager if you want. You could buy another house. You could buy more houses. You could marry loads of people and have even more kids. It's a game within a game, Playground said. The living population, as Playground calls it, includes 1,000 NPCs who go about their business every day. You can talk to each of them in fully voiced conversations. You could even hire them to work in your businesses or evict them as their landlord. They'll comment on your actions, too, as part of the new reputation system. Some of your choices will actually change the world of Albion for the rest of the game. Fable is due out on Xbox Series X and S, also on PC and PlayStation 5, autumn of this year, which means we'll be getting more trailers about this in the months ahead, especially during Summer Game Fest and all that stuff, because we're not getting it until the fall, you know. It's going to be one of those October release games or November release game type things, I imagine. And I'm looking forward to it. I really, really, really... I liked Fable. I liked Fable 2 better than I did Fable 1. Never finished it, but I really liked it. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, so like you said, only 4 titles.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we got news from Ubisoft that they announced major internal restructuring, more layoffs, and studio closures on the way. After years of trying and failing to get it out the door, Ubisoft finally pulled the plug on Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time remake. One of the voice actors for that game didn't find out it was canceled until this stuff broke on the internet that day. The game is one of 6 projects, 4 of them unannounced, that were canceled as part of a major reset. What was the other one, I wonder? Keep reading to find out, right? Mm-hmm. At the center of this transformation are our creative houses, integrated business units now combining production and publishing and therefore unifying the gamer relationship, said the CEO in today's announcement. Each one is built around a clear genre and brand focus with full responsibility and financial ownership led by dedicated leadership teams. It's a radical move relying on a more decentralized creative organization with faster decision-making and best-in-class cross-functional core services supporting and serving each creative house. Good God at the corporate speak. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Almost had a brain aneurysm from just reading that. My God, it was so much. Ugh. Just, I hate that terminology. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it.
This is saying a whole bunch of nothing.
It's a wordy way of saying a whole lot of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wordy way of just saying, like, we're going to try to put these groups together to make something because it's not working the way it is, you know? But no, you've got a synergy and all. You got to use all these terms of just, anyway, so what do we have? Under the new organization, 5 such creative houses will exist, each of them organized around a distinct creative genre, and designed to concentrate deep expertise in specific types of player experiences.
Whoa.
Sound like a drunk Dracula. Although the others don't have cool names yet, says the article. It breaks down like this. Creative house number 1 is Vantage Studios. They're focused on scaling and extending Ubisoft's largest and established franchise to return them into annual billionaire brands. Things like Far Cry, Rainbow Six, and Assassin's Creed. Creative House 2 is dedicated to competitive and cooperative shooter experiences. The Division, Ghost Recon, and for some reason they threw in Splinter Cell. That Splinter Cell is not a competitive game, and I wouldn't call it cooperative. It has a co-op mode, but I don't think it is something that should be classified as, oh, that's one of our co-op games. I never would tell you, hey, what's a great game for co-op? I would never... pull Splinter Cell out of my head.
Now, Splinter Cell, you think of stealth immediately.
Yeah.
So
it's a single-player stealth experience
with
the option to play multiplayer or some levels in co-op. So already they're making a mistake if this is the case. Unless they're working on a Splinter Cell that is No, don't make it competitive.
Some games don't need to be multiplayer or competitive. It needs to be what it is.
I mean, you can add the mode in. Yeah. Like, you can give that, you can make it an option. You know, even then, I question it, like Uncharted and like Last of Us when they were throwing in multiplayer modes.
Dead Space.
Or PvP modes, you know.
Dead Space comes to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
They tried to, it was during that time when all the developers were trying to force some type of multiplayer in all their games. Mm-hmm. They had to have it in there.
It was the Call of Duty days when everybody was like, man, Call of Duty's doing great. We should put multiplayer in our game.
Yeah.
Figure out how we can do that.
Yeah, you didn't have to.
No, you didn't. Creative House 3 is designed to operate a roster of select, sharp, live experiences. For Honor is in that. The Crew, Riders Republic, Skull and Bones. So, online, which, why isn't Rainbow Six in that? Well, it's in their franchise stuff, their established franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Rainbow Six could go back to single player as well. That would be great. I'm not saying it needs to ditch what they're doing right now. Keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
But give us another single-player Rainbow Six experience or a cooperative, almost Ghost Recon-like single-player experience. But, like, co-op, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
New Vegas is what I'm trying to think of. Mm-hmm. Not New Vegas. Rainbow Six Vegas and Rainbow Six Vegas 2. Mm-hmm. Those were great. I had a lot of fun with those. Creative House 4 is dedicated to immersive fantasy worlds and narrative-driven universes. Brands include the Anno series. Also, Rayman, Prince of Persia, Beyond Good and Evil. There's a name you haven't heard in a while. Creative House 5 is focused on reclaiming position in casual and family-friendly games. Things like Just Dance, or Uno, or just other type Hasbro games. The other games they're throwing in here I don't recognize. Ubisoft did not define what a billionaire brand is, but considering that this is the same crew that gave us quadruple A games, I'm going to assume it just means they expect them to make a whole lot of money. The internal overhaul will see the cancellation of 6 games, including Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time remake, as mentioned, as well as delays to 7 other games, all currently unnamed. The Prince of Persia team said the project had real potential, but we weren't able to reach the level of quality that you deserve, and continuing would have required more time and investment than we could responsibly commit. And we don't want to release something that fell short of what the Sands of Time represents. That game was announced back in 2020, initially set out to be released the following year, ran into troubles, multiple delays. Eventually, they completely rebooted a remake. In 2025, they said it would launch very soon, but obviously that did not and now will not happen at all. However, the team said in its message that the cancellation of the remake does not mean that they're stepping away from the franchise. I don't know. When was the last time we got a Prince of Persia game at all? Been a minute. Layoffs and studio closures at Ubisoft will also continue. Following cuts at their Massive and Red Link studios, the closures of Ubisoft's Halifax and Stockholm studios, Ubisoft said it is accelerating its cost reduction. As soon as I run into those words, they're like landmines, where as soon as they go off, I'm like, I'm not stepping any further because there's a whole lot of stuff I'm stepping into here. I hate that stuff. We will also selectively close several studios and continue restructuring throughout the group. While these decisions are difficult, they are necessary for us to build a more focused, efficient, and sustainable organization over the long term.
I think it says Prince of Persia, the Lost Crown.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
There was Prince of Persia, the Lost Crown, and there was also the Rogue Prince of Persia, which was a roguelike.
Okay.
That they did with Prince. I'd forgotten about those two games.
Yeah, well, this one says it was released August 8th of 2024.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I did pick it up. I actually do have it. I played the demo of it, and I enjoyed it, and yeah, it's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and the Rogue Prince of Persia was made, I think, by the Dead Cell guys, which I haven't played Dead Cell, but... I want to say it was made by them. It's another one that I'm actually kind of interested in as well. But never got around to playing. And a lot of those I never got around to either playing or buying because they were attached to Ubisoft Store. You can buy them through Steam, but you eventually have to go through the Ubisoft Connect thing to get into it. And I really hate that. EA was smart when they ditched their Origin thing to play their games. I mean, they still have it. You can still use it and whatever. But if I buy an EA game on Xbox or on Steam, it's not going to open up the Origin overlay where I have to sign in and launch from there.
Yeah.
But when I installed Star Wars Outlaws through Game Pass, sure enough, the Ubisoft Connect app launched. I wasn't playing it. I was just installing it. But you had to go through that, I guess, to make that happen. So,
yeah.
Not a fan of that at all. So. All right, we got another break here. And when we come back, hopefully we'll jump into some news that's more recent. A lot of this was from 2 weeks ago. But yeah, a lot of the news from this week was more about Highguard. And I had a whole thing where I was going to be going into Highguard because the articles here were like, Highguard's Shadow Drop plans were upended by the Game Awards. Highguard's coming out next week, and there's a gameplay overview coming on launch day, which is odd for a game that's had so much hype. And, you know, here's another article that says, Highguard deserves a chance, so don't kill it out of spite. Highguard launches to big Steam concurrence, but it's destroyed by user reviews. We covered that. When did it become trendy to hate on a new game? Highguard struggles to win over the internet. Video game developers come to its defense. I don't care. It's a free-to-play game. Go play it if you want to. It's free. And then, you know, leave a review if you want to do that. But if you're worried about the way that everybody else is review bombing it, and I guess there are still people out there who go and look at that for a free-to-play game. I get it when you got to put money in it. But if you're going to look at reviews for a free-to-play game, just give it a shot and see if you like it. It's free. I mean, I'm not necessarily knocking you for wanting to read the reviews. Go right ahead. But if there's enough controversy around this thing to where it's been labeled as getting review bombed, then play it for yourself to find out. That's it. You know? Again, best case scenario, you got a free game that you really love playing. Worst case scenario, you installed the game, you played it, you hated it, uninstall it, move on. Leave a bad review. Leave a review that says, you know, I was worried about the review bombing, but nope, it sucks. It's fine. So there's no reason for me to go into all of this. Maybe go into the whole, when did it become trendy to hate on a new game, to see what the video game developers are saying about it. But at the same time, I'm like, it's just play it. If you're curious, go play it. If Ark Raiders was free, I'd have already played it by now. If Helldivers 2 was free to play, I'd have already played it by now. Apex Legends was free to play. I played it. I didn't like it. Fortnite, is that free to play? Regardless, I was never going to put myself in Fortnite.
Yeah.
But I've done that on a few occasions where a game is free to play. Let me try it out and see how it is. I don't like it. That's it. So, anyway, going to break here. We got music here from the N64. This is Wave Race 64. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. Music here from Gunstar Heroes. Military on the Max? I don't know what that is, but anyway, yeah. Gunstar Heroes. Mm-hmm. Don't believe I ever played them. Mm-hmm. All right. Final segment of the show. And let's see. We did that. What do we have? I mean, the rest of the news ain't great. I know you're probably looking at it as well there, and it's, you know, it's about layoffs,
mm-hmm.
profit drops,
cancellations.
Yeah, the Xbox hardware sales. Microsoft just announced bumper revenues of over $80 billion for the most recent quarter, but not every division within the tech titan is coining it. The Xbox hardware revenue continues to fall, and even its overall gaming service revenues are on the slide. Hardware revenues reportedly down by 32% in the final quarter of last year, while overall gaming revenue was down 9%. They also said in its earnings release that Xbox content and services revenue, including Game Pass, were down by 5%. Down is always bad, but down by 5 ain't too bad. Basically, anything to do with Xbox and gaming for Microsoft is on the slide, though as The Verge notes, Microsoft isn't releasing any information on Xbox Game Pass membership rates. That makes it difficult to gauge the impact of Game Pass Ultimate price hike, which wasn't exactly warmly received by gamers anyway. The whole Xbox endeavor is currently in flux. The company has continued to publish more games for play on Sony's competing PS5 console as part of its broader and, some would argue, incredibly confusing This is an Xbox campaign, push to redefine what an Xbox means. What else? They've also included the Asus ROG Xbox Ally X, the handheld gaming PC with some trimmings added to Windows to Xboxify it a bit. Yeah, it's hard to imagine things can continue as they are, particularly when it comes to hardware. A 32% decline in revenue is not something that the hardware division can keep on repeating. It does all seem to point to Xbox consoles as we've known them not being a thing. Despite claims from Microsoft itself in October that, I'm quoting them, and this is that energy drink giving me the burps here. Quoting, "We are actively investing in our future first-party consoles and devices designed, engineered, and built by Xbox." Basically saying that, I know you guys are talking about us getting out of the hardware business, but we're not. So they say. Long story short, if we don't find out what exactly is an Xbox pretty soon, it risks not being anything at all. Good way to end that article. Even though I think, and I don't necessarily know that I have this in the show notes here, which I don't, but I remember Sony released something, or at least there was some sort of word from Sony saying that the next PlayStation would be 2027 or 2028 at the earliest for the next one, which is a delay. I mean, they actively said that due to things...
Mm-hmm.
We are having to, you know, sort of delay the release of the next PlayStation console.
Yeah.
Not that they've even got the thing built,
yeah.
or even a concept or whatever it is that they're doing. But with the way RAM prices are and everything else, releasing a console right now would, the price of it would just be massive.
Yeah. The lookups at, potentially delayed from 2027 targets due to memory shortages, like you said, and it wouldn't be the typical 7-year cycle
mm-hmm.
for PS5 that way. Yeah,
yeah, we're kind of, oddly enough, and it's a weird thing to say, because I don't necessarily know if it's because of the usage that I've gotten out of my Xbox and PlayStation 5,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like the consoles themselves are still young, but they're not. You know, they're 5-6 years old.
Yeah.
And usually you're looking at new consoles around this time.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors or spec leaks or just information, but you're not getting that from any of them.
Yeah.
This is going to be a very long generation of these consoles. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a long generation of the graphics cards as well, because I know that they're NVIDIA and AMD are not releasing anything until 2028, possibly late 2027. So normally you'd be getting a refresh right about now, but that's not happening.
We're going to see a 10, 11-year cycle, you think?
No, I think you would normally, the cycles will like readjust. They'll get back into the cycle,
mm-hmm.
but not with the way that the prices are going right now.
Yeah.
If the prices continue to stay this way on into the future, then yeah, you may see a longer gap in between, but I don't see this being a problem for years on end. The RAM shortages and things like that. I see that eventually settling back down. I don't necessarily know when, but I do see it happening.
I think it's going to take a while.
I know, yeah.
It's going to be a while for that happens.
But it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my thing. It's going to happen. And then when it does, your cycles will get back into, mm-hmm. if it stays that way, mm-hmm. as long as you don't see it kind of go up and down again like that, yeah. then, you know, you might see it correct itself.
Yeah. All I know is this, me and you both got a backlog big enough to keep us occupied until that happens.
Yeah, yeah. We're good. Digital hoarder over here.
Yep.
Yeah, we're absolutely good. So that was the Xbox thing. Just covering the bad news here. This comes from Eurogamer. 1/3 of surveyed U.S. games industry workers were laid off in the last 2 years. A report from GDC has shed a rather sobering light on the state of things. According to GDC's 2026 State of the Game Industry Report, which included data provided by over 2,300 respondents, including developers, producers, marketers, executives, and investors, 33% of respondents in the U.S. had been laid off over the past 24 months. Looking further afield to include other countries as well, 28% of those surveyed from within the industry reported that they had been laid off in the same period, which is over a quarter of all respondents. 70% of those surveyed, meanwhile, stated that they had been laid off in the past 12 months. The total number of layoffs could be higher, though, as some may have experienced more than one layoff in the past 2 years. Almost half of the respondents, 48%, said they are still looking for employment after being laid off. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Of those who were laid off 1 to 2 years ago, 36% said they still haven't found other game industry employment. Over 450 respondents reported experience in acquisition, closure, or merger in the past year. About 31% of those people also reported being laid off, though it's unclear how many were a direct result of said company changes. AAA and older indie respondents were more likely to report their companies were acquired, and newer indie studios were more likely to close. In terms of professions within the industry, game designers reported the highest percentage of layoffs over the past 12 months, with 20% of those surveyed were affected by that. That percentage also includes those in narrative design as well. So just a caveat on that, and I can't speak for these people who were surveyed because I don't know, but a lot of your game designers, a lot of your industry people are contract workers.
Yeah.
They get hired. You're like, hey, we're putting you on for this game. The game's going to release. Then you're likely to be let go.
Yeah.
You know? You're on for a contract for that game. When that game gets released, your contract is up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are probably set to get residuals or whatever, maybe a bonus depending on how well the game does or something like that. But your employment with the company, unless they decide to hire you during that process,
yeah,
and say, hey, we want to you know, just bring you on full time with us,
mm-hmm.
instead of this contract work, which can happen. But a lot of the times, game industry people are contract workers.
Mm-hmm.
They're set there for a game, and then they're done. But I don't necessarily know about these people surveyed if that was their case.
Mm.
So it'd be interesting to see if they could break that down, because if you are a contract worker, then you are probably not laid off then or lost your job, right?
Yeah, your contract just...
Do you kind of... I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
At the under the scale, those working in business operations and services reported the lowest percentage of layoffs, with 8% affected. As to the reason why these layoffs happened, 43% cited company restructuring, 32% said it was due to project getting canceled. Budget cuts and market conditions were also cited by 38% of the respondents. Leadership, this is a quote from a respondent. Leadership failed to see that the COVID-era boom was not permanent, and the company went on an acquisition spree before being acquired. Now, money is a lot tighter because the goldfish with the money want returns yesterday so they can funnel it into the current fad, which is generative AI.
Mm. There it is.
Getting me started on AI, buddy. Listen. I hate that we came upon the AI topic here with 10 minutes left in the show.
Mm-hmm.
There is a discussion to be had about AI. Benefits and
pros and cons.
The pros and cons and benefits, right? I am generally against it. But it's difficult. First off, yeah. AC Wraith says, you already started on AI. How do you think those thousands of Fable characters are becoming interactive, right? More than likely, you're correct. Even the 1,000 Fable characters that have voices, likely AI generated, right?
Go bigger than that. Those AI voices have AI full-fledged conversations.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of...
which is probably done by AI.
Yeah. That's a lot of voices. That's a lot of situations. That's a lot of random stuff that can come across in the game, in the gameplay session of that type.
And that's for entertainment value, which I can't justify. I honestly can't. The ways that I can likely justify AI, I suppose, and I'm not saying that I do in this, but the conversation turns to where, you know, they're not using it in this method, but if they were using it in a, like, I feel like AI... It's possible, maybe, that from AI we get, you know, medical breakthroughs. And I don't mean the ones where, like, you know, you give yourself a shot and you become skinny all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the big ones. Like, if somehow AI leads us to the cure for cancer, was it worth it to get there? Right?
Right.
Did we get there faster than what we would have, or would we have ever gotten there without the help of it?
Mm-hmm.
And does that necessarily justify its existence? Because it is going to save so many lives and prevent so much suffering. Mm-hmm. Or will it cause suffering because of that? There's a lot of pros and cons to it, but
yeah.
It's hard for me, you know, putting it in entertainment like this, no. Making pictures and generate pictures on the internet or create... songs or what? No.
Yeah, it's basically AI in that case in entertainment. Yeah, it's the long-term goal of not hiring people.
There's that too,
I don't
right?
Need to hire people. I just have a program that does everything I need.
Yeah.
And like I've always said on the show, business will business.
I know.
And they're looking for the best way to get profit. And one of the quickest ways to get profit, not having people. One tool that does it all for me. I can get rid of all of y'all.
Those 1,000 characters in Fable? They didn't hire 1,000 voice actors to do this.
Exactly. I just took just a few keystrokes in this program, and there you go. Done.
And I say they didn't, but...
Yeah.
AC Wraith, that'll be something to note. Like, the more we find out about Fable, how much more is that driven by AI in Fable?
Mm-hmm.
How much more is that driven by AI in...
I didn't get that. As AI technology grows more...
Stop. I didn't ask you anything, said the AI.
AI demands to be heard on this one.
I know, right? I'm sorry. Yep. Did somebody say AI?
Yep.
Oh, there's our eagles. I'm completely getting distracted, but there are a pair of eagles that every year, this time of year, they're in Big Bear Valley. They lay eggs, and just yesterday I saw that the nest was completely empty of birds, but there were the two eggs, and the eggs looked cracked.
Mm-hmm.
And as we just discovered, that they were saying that the two bald eagles had left the nest. The crows came by.
Crows and ravens, yeah.
Scavenged and plundered and, you know, did their thing.
Yeah.
And now the Eagles have to start over from square one.
Nature happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's nature. It's absolutely nature, and it's sad to see. But by the way, if you go to YouTube, there's two live cameras, Big Bear Valley, that focus on these two Eagles. And I have watched them for years on end. Last year was the first time I got to see them after like 3 years. Last year was the first time I got to see them actually have babies and actually raise those babies to adulthood. And so, you know, every year we're trying again. Same spot, same location, same birds. So anyway, over to the AI thing again. You know, I did something here with AI years ago that gave a voice back to someone who didn't have it.
Yeah.
So that they could give a speech in a virtual scenario.
Yeah, I mean...
And it was pretty amazing to see that happen.
Yeah, AI as a tool, like any other tool, can be used for good or it can be abused terribly.
I know. Like, it sounds very comic booky, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just
like
saw,
it's going to get into the wrong hands.
What was that? What was that article about someone using an AI representative in court?
There's that, and then there's actors, there's the songs. There's a whole.
Yeah, that's new to me. AI being made to use instant hits or songs thrown out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do remember the time when AIs was made were used to make scripts.
Yeah, some of that was, yeah, I don't know. By the way, the other article we have is Paradox operating profit dropped 162% year on year. 162%. That's, Paradox, by the way, same company that did City Skylines. Same company, by the way, that did Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, which actually didn't do very well. I know. You just said that. Ooh. Yep.
That studio. Oh, yeah.
So we got Ubisoft cutting back studios and canceling games. We got Xbox saying, like, yeah, we're still going to make consoles, but we're doing it at a loss right now, and we're going to continue to do it at a loss, and you can't sustain that. Although it is Microsoft. They've got money coming out of every single door and hole in their whole company. And can probably get more because they're working on AI stuff, so who knows? Yeah. So, anyway. Enough of that, I guess. You know, I think AI is worth talking about as far as the benefits or the... I mean, obviously, we've talked about the negative aspects of it. And it's hard to find benefits because so far... I don't feel like there are any significant benefits to AI. Mm-hmm. I could be missing something because I rarely ever read any articles about AI because I don't like it. It's not that I don't like the articles. I just don't like the tech. The tech is driving up my memory prices and hard drive prices. That's
the main thing.
It's killing me, Smalls. It's like, I mean, it really, really is as far as, you know, upgrade. We're not getting new consoles because of it. Your prices on anything that takes RAM is going to go up. These things are going to go up. Your phones are going to go up because of the RAM that's used in them. Your car prices are going to go up because there's RAM used in cars. Anything that takes memory right now is going to increase in price because of what's going on because of AI. It kind of all goes back to AI.
Mm-hmm.
There's environmental issues involved with it as well that are not great. So it is hard to find a justification for it. Other people will find a justification for it. By that, I mean your businesses will, because it's like, oh, well, no, we got rid of half of our staff because AI can take care of everything else.
Yeah.
And look at our profits roll. Business going to business, like you said.
Mm-hmm. So. I still remember the first time when it was artists. They got hit hard with AI.
They did, yeah.
They really got hit hard with AI.
I got sucked in on that, too, because somebody on, I don't know if it was Reddit or somewhere, pointed me to a Discord channel where you could get in there and have it generate images.
Yeah, I mean, artists...
I was like, ooh, this is really cool.
Yeah, but...
I didn't realize what I was doing at the time.
But, like, artists were struggling already.
Yeah.
And then AI happens, and it made it a whole lot worse.
Exactly. So, that's going to be it for us as we go on a downer here. Join us next week. We'll do it again. More of In-Game Chat. RJ will be here. Yep. And we will have a great week. We will see you next week. This is music from Baldur's Gate. It is the main theme for Baldur's Gate. So, yeah. Have a good one. We'll see you next Saturday.